for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 30th, 2007. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the evening, teaching on So You Want to Be a Manifested Son. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
See a little possible difference in one verse in these seven that may be different than, but anyway, we'll look at it both ways. And it says, woe, which is a military word. It's in the Bible twice. The word woe is in the Bible more than twice. But this particular word is only in the Bible two times. And it is a military word. It means, like the sergeant would say, attention. It means, come attention. Pay attention to what's being said. It's a military word of pay attention. To a land shadowing with wings. And we've always been known as our national emblem, the Great Eagle. So we are a land shadowing with wings. Which is beyond the river of Ethiopia, which is the Nile River. And of course you've got to come to America, come across, before you come to any land that's a land worthwhile. Because you've got the desert, Sahara Desert, and all over there is almost all wasteland. But the first land of any value is the southeast coast of America you'd come to. And then it says they send ambassadors by the sea, and we were the first nation to send ambassadors to all the other countries. And of course, there was no way to send them except by boat. In the beginning, there wasn't any airplane, and only a sailboat. And then it says, in vessels of bulrushes. Now, in the time when they translated this Bible, a bulrush was the only kind of boat that they knew of that was on the Nile River. It was boats made out of bulrushes. But the original doesn't say that. The original says, a water drinking vessel. Well, they had no idea what a water drinking vessel was. All they knew about on the Nile River was boats of bulrushes. So, makes sense, that was the way they interpreted it. But it says a water drinking vessel. Now, the first water drinking vessel, Brother Fulton invented it, and he plied it on the Hudson River. So the water drinking vessel is a product of America. And then of course the atomic ships of the day, which drink millions of gallons. And then it said, go ye swift messengers to a nation, and my translation says, scattered and peeled. Now some of your translations say tall, some of them say clean shaven. Tall and clean shaven is the correct translation. The soldiers of the United States have always been the tallest soldiers in the world, and basically American men are clean shaven. And then it says that we've been terrible from our beginning. And all the nations have looked up to this nation from the time of the Tea Party. From then on, we became terrible. Until Truman sold us down the river and forced MacArthur to retreat. Well, he didn't. He just, he left. He wouldn't command a retreat. And it says, a nation that's beaten out and trodden down. And now, in 1800, the Congress passed a law that the United States was to be surveyed. And there was to be a brass placard. It's about 4 inches round, put on the corner of every section in the United States. So to do that, they had to trot it down, had to walk it, and they had to meet it out, they had to measure it. No other nation that's ever been done to. And then it says, whose land the river, mine says, the river has spoiled. Some of your Bibles say they're divided. Some of them say quartered. Quartered is a correct translation. A land that the rivers have quartered. We are divided. No other river nation is. Now, Brazil is divided by the Amazon, but it's not quartered. America is divided by the Mississippi. It's quartered by the Ohio and the Missouri. The Missouri and the Ohio quarter the United States. And then it says, all you inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see, when he lifts up an ensign on the mountain and when he blows a trumpet here, and that flag, that ensign, the nations of the earth have been afraid of it, and the people of the nations of the earth have desired to come and live under it. He said to pay attention. For the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest, and I will consider my dwelling, place like a clear heat upon the herb, and like a cloud of dew, the harvest. And before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripe, being in the flower, he shall cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks, take away and cut down the branches. Now, I have always applied that to the Civil War. And that may be true. But as I considered, Brother Pedro, this may apply to the time of tribulation also, when he'll prune this nation. And as I think about it, the Civil War pruned it. But there's a greater pruning coming than that. And they shall be left together under the fowls of the mountains and the beasts of the earth. The fowls shall come upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall win upon them. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people. Now look at this. Who's bringing this present to the Lord at that time? The people who are tall and smooth shaven, smooth face, from a people that have been terrible from their beginning. A nation that was meted out and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, the place of the name of the Lord of hosts unto Mount Zion. Look, 7 verses in the middle of Isaiah without any reason. And they describe and apply to the United States of America, of which we are privileged. Now, I'm going to read 2 more verses to you. Deuteronomy chapter 15. 15, verse 5 and 6. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments, which I have commanded you. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, not a country, nations, but they shall not reign over you. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And this is where, in 27, is where the Lord lists all the curses that come upon us by not obeying his word. And he also lists the blessings. And I desire the blessings. I desire to the best of my ability to study, to understand, and obey the word. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if I like it or don't like it. That's immaterial. God said it. Therefore, I'm responsible to do it. No matter what I think about it, I'm still responsible to obey. It is written. And then, in chapter 28, then we have the blessings all listed. And then, verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee and be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, I used to read where Nathan came in and told Daniel that they were going to be moved to another land before I understood this. And I used to think, well, Lord, aren't they already in the promised land? Why is Nathan telling David that they're going to move someplace else? They're already here in the promised land. But now, as I began to, I understood what Nathan was referring to, telling David. He was telling David that the day was coming when they were all going to be taken away and moved to another place. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain upon thy land in season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. So, whoever God's chosen people are the people who loan money to all the rest of the nations of the earth. And they don't borrow from any of them. America has loaned to every nation or given on the face of the earth trillions of dollars. And we give to the country who claims to be God's chosen people several billion dollars every year and have been for about 30 years. Now, those two scriptures prove that they are not God's chosen people or God's chosen land, because if they were, they would be us, sending money to all of us. And I had a page that Speed Wilson sent me, and I've lost it, and he can't find his copy. But it listed all the nations of the earth, 160 some of them, at that time. And it showed how much money that we have given to each country. And it's in the trillions of dollars. And there is one God-fearing country, one, that has repaid us to the penny. Finland. Finland. A God-fearing country. Finland. They repaid their debt. Nobody else has even paid interest, which is multiplied into the billions of dollars. And they never will. So, you conclude by the word who God's chosen people are. Well, I don't know if I can answer your questions or not, but if for a few minutes if somebody wants to ask me something, I will try to answer. I won't promise, because I don't know everything. But I'm trying to learn. I'm studying. to show myself approved, that I rightly divide, it is written, so that the people of God will understand who they are in the earth today and the responsibility that rests on God's household, a responsibility that is greater than we want to bear, yet it is still our responsibility. Amen. Yes?
What about the deficit, though? I mean, where are we getting all that money?
What about what?
The deficit.
The deficit.
Right.
National debt.
National debt.
The national debt.
It's IOUs.
Right, but we're borrowing it from somewhere.
It's imagination. It's imagination. But the national debt is controlled by the Zionist organization underneath the head of the Rothschilds and Rockefellers. They own the Federal Reserve. American government has no say in the Federal Reserve. Nothing to do with it. It belongs to the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. And they control it. And their board of directors runs it. Except the president appoints somebody as head of it. But he always appoints one of their men to run it. Now, I wanted to say something else. I don't want to forget it. I should have never thought about you asking that, or anybody, but I can't think of the name. Who was the secretary to the President of the United States at the time of World War II? His personal secretary was a Zionist Jew. And he engineered the IRS. And after Congress had adjourned for Christmas in 1917, I think it was 17, I can stand corrected on that. But after Congress adjourned, he brought the bill to Congress, and there were 12 people there, all part of the conspiracy. Everybody else gone home. And they voted to pass what we know as the Internal Revenue Service. Now, it's illegal because there was no quorum and it has never been ratified. Never. But you can't fight it because their power is greater than yours. And you can't get enough people on the Supreme Court that will overrule it. The only way we can get rid of it is if we have a tax system instead of the IRS. I mean, on merchandise that you buy, a flat tax, which they've been trying to get for the last 10 years, but they can't get enough votes to pass it because the opposition is so great. So, anyway. John Kennedy was killed by people of the Zionist and the Federal Reserve. What's his name?
Oswald.
Who do they claim shot him?
Oswald.
Oswald was a puppet. He was a cover-up. The bullet he shot never hit anybody, Oswald. And how do I know all this? Well, Speed Wilson, who is America's most decorated man of World War I or World War II, Vietnam and Korea, who was the commanding officer for 9 months of all the Marines in Vietnam, at the time of Kennedy's death, he was the commanding officer of all the Marine Reserves in the United States. And they were investigating Oswald at the time. And he had Oswald's folder in his desk drawer. And by a bullet from the front seat of the car. The bullet went in his neck here and blew the back of his head out. The governor of Texas was killed by was hit by a sharpshooter up on the hill off on the side. This way, the bullet was meant for Kennedy, and it missed Kennedy and hit the governor of Texas. Now, why this had to happen that day? It had to happen. Why did it have to happen? Because John Kennedy had printed money, millions of dollars of money, ready, boxed and ready to distribute to all the Federal Reserve banks in America. And he was, when he got back to Washington the next day, he was going to make a presidential declaration and eliminate the Federal Reserve and replace Federal Reserve money with government bank notes. The money was printed. How do I know that? Steve Wilson has some of it. He has some of it. If they hadn't gotten Kennedy and killed him, that would have happened the next day. So, and Oswald was just a puppet. He didn't. Kennedy was killed from a man sitting in the passenger seat, the front seat of the car. I have no idea what it reached. Is it? But who is it owed to? Who is the Federal Reserve? The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers own the United States of America. They own it. And if they were to demand a call in of the money that they would own, they already own it. They own the United States. What is owed to them is greater than what the value of the nation is today. Yeah. Technically, we are their slaves.
Scotland and Ireland having descendants of the tribe, or the David, King David.
You see, the ruler of Scotland, at the time that Jeremiah went there with his great-granddaughter, Queen Teopia, was a direct descendant of the other side, just as in Spain, as Spain there was a direct descendant of the other side of the twins of Judah, so was the prince of Scotland a descendant of that tribe of Judah. So when Jeremiah married the princess to the Irish prince, talks about the twig that was taken from the treetop. Twig was cut off and carried, and it was grafted in and became a great tree. That happened when those two were married. It put the twins back together as a single lineage.
Can you tell us, I've heard this, but I've never heard the full teaching on it as far as the lost tribes and how that ties into the people who ended up.
You see, if you study history, there are no lost tribes. History follows them through, up through the Caucasus Mountains, where the word Caucasian came from. They became Caucasians because they came through the Caucasus Mountains. And that's where they got that name. And they traveled up through there. And history tells about the river and the pass where the river comes down through the mountains. In history, and tells that one time the Lord, that the river dried up. It's a river that flows through this pass like the Colorado does out in Colorado. And when the river river dried up, the children of Israel passed through on the other side, and then they scattered abroad throughout all of Europe around. And they really kind of lost their identity. They just kind of melded together. But some that there's enough identity of them from place to place to be able to pick them up. But it isn't prominent like they were in the land of Israel. Where they, this one lives here, that one lived there. But as they traveled, they intermingled them.
So then in Scotland and Ireland would be the tribe of Judah?
Well, partly the tribe of Judah there, yeah. But there were a lot of migration to England of several tribes, not just that. History.
Isn't England mostly Ephraim?
Yes. Yeah, England is mostly Ephraim, with part of Judah and all. Yeah. But the royal family is Judah. Yeah. But these things are all, to me, enjoyable. I love to find all these things, read them, and see what my lineage is. Now, I don't know I can prove my lineage, but I think I can. I think I belong to Joseph. Anyway. Yes, son?
What are some of the other things that Prince Charles was guilty of that his mom didn't want him to be the king?
You what? I didn't understand. Tell me again.
Prince Charles?
Yeah.
What were some of the other things he was guilty of?
Well, he's part of a lot of ungodly organizations. And he's head of some of them. He's the head of them. And he's got himself entwined when Begin was shot. Remember when he was killed? I guess it was in Begin in Israel. I've got a picture over there. Standing behind his coffin, Prince Charles was the king of Jordan. King of Jordan, Prince Charles, and the man who claims he's the last descendant of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. What's his name? And he is still living. And at the time this picture was taken, the dead man and the four men standing behind him had the power, the ruling power of the world. Otto von Habsburg, and he claims, and so do all the kings and queens of most of Europe ever since the time of Mary Magdalene, claim that they are direct descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Heresy, but they claim that and they believe it. And this man in Austria with Prince Charles and the king of Jordan and the man that was killed, those five, there's five of them at that time, and were the men behind the ruling powers of the world. Under the Rothschild family. Now, that sounds hard, but it's now, see, this is because the guardians of the Grail. What is the Grail? You know what that is? That's the chalice that supposedly Jesus drank out of at the Last Supper. And here's a picture of it here. It belongs to Carl van Habsburg. And Here is the sword that supposedly pierced Jesus' side. They are in a glass-proof case in a museum in Vienna, Austria, and they belong to Karl von Hausberg. And during the war, there is a story with it that whoever owned it ruled the world. So during World War II, the first place Hitler invaded was Austria. Why? He wanted these two items, and he got them. And he believed, of course, he was in witchcraft and Satan worship, and he believed that that gave him the authority to rule the world. And before the war was over, he buried him or hid him in a mine in the Alps Mountains. And under Eisenhower, while they were taking these things out, and they found these two items. And the museum in England wanted them. They wanted them to put in the museum in England. But Eisenhower said, no, they belong to Karl von Hausberg, and I'm ordering them to be given back to him. And so then he took them, and today they're in a museum in a bulletproof case, encasement, with guards, and you can go look at them. And they claim that that's what they are. Of course, they're not. And Jesus never drank from anything that looks like that. He just drank from a cup. This thing is, and then this sword, this head of a spear here, is supposed to be the one that pierced Jesus' side. Now, these people believe this. To them, this is fact. They believe this. And down through this is quite an interesting history book, because it tells of the kings and queens of Spain and France and in other parts of Europe, and they're all related to each other. Every one of them are cousins or something. Even though they had wars and fought each other, they still were all relations. And they all believed and do believe that they are descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, and that gave them a right to rule the world. Okay. I never intend to get into anything else before we say goodnight.
I'd like to comment on something. My generation grew up under the threat of communism. I spent a third of my life fighting it around the world.
Yeah.
We're told it's dead. But yet I read that 70% of the Russian government is often the political offices are held by KGB or former Communist Party. China is controlled by a Communist Party. What are your feelings?
Russia is a Jewish Khazar nation. Bolshevik Revolution was paid for by the Rockefellers. They collected up gold bullion in New York and gave it to Lenin. That's not his name. And they gave it to Lenin and another man and about 120 men agreed to go with them. And they went by ship and got to Switzerland. When they got to Switzerland, they were sealed in two boxcars. And the two boxcars went by rail to Moscow. And at checkpoints, orders were given ahead of time that they were not to be touched. And those two boxcars went to Moscow. And then when they opened them up, why, Lenin and his men come out, and they went, first place they went was to kill the Tsar of Russia. And then from there, they took London was a Jew. And most all those that went with him were Jews from New York. And every... Stalin was a Jew. Khrushchev is a Jew. He's still alive, living at the Posadia in San Francisco Bay. And it belongs to the United Nations, not to America anymore. That's United Nations property. And every ruler of Russia up until the present man, which I don't know about, but every one of them has been a Jew. And there is no persecution in Russia of Jews. That's false. Because the country is run by Jews. Now, if they want to go to Israel, they can go. They're not held back from going. But they don't have to go. Because and the KGB and all that, those are all Khazar Jewish people. Majority of them.
Do you see them playing a role in the near future?
Russia? No, they are a great threat. A threat. We are lulled to sleep. But the day will come when they will rise up. Khrushchev is in charge of seeing to the destruction of all the atomic warheads. That's what he's supposed to be doing for the UN. They have not destroyed. Now they have done away with production and with the materials for making atomic warheads. But they have not destroyed one warhead. They have destroyed some of the missiles, but not the warheads. They have them all. And this thing with when Bush building a place over there in Poland or somewhere, if he goes through with that, he may start a war. Because Russia's got the ability to do it. And if somebody happens to get ticked off just right, all they got to do is push the button and fire one missile, and boy, it's on. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. That's all. Amen. Well, see you 6 o'clock in the morning. And I've done something tonight here I've never done before.
You have another question.
Huh?
Question.
Oh, I didn't see. Yes?
When John Kennedy was killed, a pastor in the front seat. You talk about how John Kennedy was killed by a pastor in the front seat. I believe the government killed him. But my question is, why did they let Jacqueline Kennedy live? She had to see that.
Johnson tried to keep her from getting on the plane to go back to Washington. And he tried to keep her from getting on the plane with her husband's body. And there's quite a Speed would have to tell you about it, but there's quite a story about what happened. That somebody actually made Johnson put her on the plane because he had given orders that she'd have to come on another airplane. Because you see, the minute that airplane took off from the ground, the minute it was in the air, he had him sworn in as president. And it was pitiful for her to have to witness that. But it was better that she was with the body than not with it. Anyway, you're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.